Even though the Major League Baseball trade deadline has been the focus of attention, there's still baseball being played. The New York Yankees took care of business at the Trop, taking 2 of 3 games against the Tampa Bay Rays. We are going to discuss it and break it down all for you on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. No, we are not avoiding talking about the trade deadline. The New York Yankees have been very, and I mean very, active. However, we are going to do a show that strictly talks about their deadline deals. You already know about the Luis Cessa and Justin Wilson trade. The Joey Gallo trade is official. There is reports that the Yankees are close to acquiring Anthony Rizzo. So there is a lot going on in Yankee land, and if you can tell by my voice, pretty darn excited for it, to say the least. So we got a lot to talk about, but this show is going to solely focus on the field where the New York Yankees took care of business against the Tampa Bay Rays, taking 2 out of 3 games at the Trop. Now, a sweep would have been flat out amazing. However, the Yankees simply did not have it in Game 3. We're going to talk about it all and more on this episode. Before we get into it, remember, subscribe, rate, and review our show. Any kind of feedback you give us is definitely good, and it helps us expand our brand. Find us on any podcasting platform. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. And then, of course, find us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter, my personal account at Nick Delahanty, and then search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I mentioned earlier, we are part of the Delahanty Media brand. Go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. Got a couple of great shows. You're definitely going to want to check them out. They've been pushing out some new content over the last couple of weeks. Make sure you don't waste any more time. Go to our website to find more information about those. Now, of course, let's not waste any time. Jump right in to the start of the series. So Game 1 happened on Tuesday night. Yankees going to Tampa Bay, desperately needing a series win. Remember, the last series the Yankees played against the Rays, they were able to win that series as well. So you're building some momentum against Tampa, especially at the Trop. We all know how much trouble the Yankees have had at the Trop over the last couple of years. We go into Game 1, Jordan Montgomery didn't look like he was going to last long. After 4 innings, was over 80 pitches. He was gutsy, was able to get the Yankees through 5. He's been pitching a lot better of late, did not allow a run. The Rays have struggled mightily against lefties. One thing they do well is they make pitchers work. So Montgomery was on the tough task of trying to manage this lineup while working deep into counts. He was able to get through 5, and it was what the Yankees needed in this one. At the beginning of the season, if you would have said to us, Montgomery goes 5, and you go Green, Loaisiga, Britton, and Chapman to close it, Yankee fans would sign up for a 15 out of 10. Now, of course, relievers have bad days. Chad Green's been struggling of late. He allowed 2 runs in his inning of work. He was followed by Jonathan Loaisiga, who pitched a clean inning. And then Zach Britton got roughed up a little bit. He allowed the 3rd and final Tampa run in the 8th, and Chapman was able to come in the 9th and close it out. Very close game. Right down to the nitty-gritty of it, you know, it always seems like when Chapman comes in, there's a little more added pressure. But nonetheless, the Yankees able to capture a Game 1 victory in this series. And for me, going back to it, because obviously we're in recap mode, that first game is huge because, number one, you just need to win one of the next 2 to secure the series. Number 2, your ace, who we're going to talk about a lot later, is scheduled to pitch Game 3. So you have that to fall back on if, in fact, you do lose Game 2. But nonetheless, Yankees win. The offense was powered by a DJ LeMahieu single in the 5th, a Gio Urshela double in the 6th, and a Ryan Lamar homer in the 8th, which actually gave the Yankees that extra run they needed to win the game. At the time, it was insurance run, but at the end of the game, it was the one that captured the Yankees' win. So a big swing off the bat of Lamar. and the Yankees pick up a Game 1 victory. We go into Game 2. Now, mind you, Yankees bullpen's a little bit taxed. You know, Green threw a lot of pitches. Britton threw a lot of pitches. The Yankees were a little short-staffed. However, if the game needed them to, I knew that Aaron Boone was not going to shy away from those guys. Yankees had a day off on Monday. They were all fresh and ready to go. Nestor Cortez, off the COVID list. We all know he only made one appearance since. He gets the start in this one. And from the look of it early, it appeared that Cortez was only going to be allowed to throw about 50 to 60 pitches. So heading into this one, I'm saying to myself, the Yankees need to get 4 innings out of Cortez. Well, Cortez did me one better. He got them 5. Only allowed 1 run, the only run that Tampa would score the entire night. And then the Yankees turned it over to the bullpen, which was lights out. Started with Lucas Litke. 2 strong innings of work. Struck out 4 of the 6 batters he faced. Britton comes in. He allowed a walk, but nothing else. Was able to get out of it unscathed. Then you go to Chad Green, who ended up getting the win in this one. Talk more about that in a minute. And then Aroldis Chapman, that if you remember, the last play of the game, pop up to DJ LeMahieu at first. He barely, and I mean barely, caught it. Looks like it may have gotten caught up in the catwalk or the ceiling of the stadium. We all know how terrible Tropicana Field is. But nonetheless, LeMahieu made the catch. Yankees go on to win the ball game. Offensively, not really pretty. 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Another ugly night in that regard. Yankees did not have anybody with multi-hits. 5 of their 7 hits came from the first 5 guys in the lineup. LeMahieu, Torres, Odor, Stanton, and Sanchez. How'd the Yankees get on the board? Well, after falling behind 1-0 in the 4th, LeMahieu hit a sac fly to center field, tying up the ball game, and then we did not get any more runs until the extras. Aaron Judge, who was scratched from the lineup, everybody panicked before game time because it looked like Judge was either hurt or traded. It ended up being neither of the two. He had to go for medical testing. It ran late, so he was able to pinch hit. Right guy, right spot. He singles to center field, scoring Urshela. And then Allen scored on a Kittredge wild pitch, gave the Yankees a 3-1 lead that they would not relish. We mentioned they went into extras. Yankees couldn't get it done in regular time, but credit the bullpen, they were lights out. We've seen some of those guys. Your Chad Greens, your Loaizakas, your Chapmans having some hiccups lately. Obviously, these guys are overworked. Regardless, they are battling through it, and they're still helping this Yankees team come out on top. Again, like I said earlier, the offense was really not that successful. Obviously, you had some big swings at the right time. Judge pinch hitting for Florio in the 9 spot. Ended up coming up in a good spot for the Yankees, helping them capture another win. So if you're the Yankees, you got to feel really confident about yourself. You just took 2 games against a team that has had your number for quite some time, and you're starting to show like, hey, we're this team that we thought we were going to be. It may not be the normal faces that you expect, but we're here and we're not going anywhere. And going into the final game of the series, even though the Yankees are allergic to sweeps, you have Gerrit Cole on the mound, so your confidence has to be high. Well, unfortunately, that was not the case, and Game 3 was an absolute clunker. I appreciate ESPN Syracuse having me on their show once again during the game. It was fun to chat with the guys about the trade deadline and whatnot, so if you haven't checked that out, this is a little bit of a subliminal plug to get you to go do that. But regardless, Yankees come out flat. Cole simply did not have it. First inning, before he even recorded an out, let up 4 runs. His first pitch of the game looked like it was going to be a Brandon Lau home run. It was just ugly. Cole pitched into the 6th, allowed 7 earned runs, 8 runs scored. Gardner made a completely ugly error in left field, dropping a pop-up that he tried the basket catch. And then Albert Abreu came in, and he didn't even record an out. He allowed 6 runs on 4 hits, walked 2. It was ugly. 4 runs in the 1st, 10 runs in the 6th. That was the Rays' offense. It just seemed like the Yankees could not buy an out in that 6th inning. 3 home runs throughout that span. Abreu was terrible. Cole was not himself. And at that point, that was all she wrote. Yankees could not come back in this one. The offense went stale. Only 4 hits total. And that's your ball game. Couple of positive notes. We saw Romano for the first time. Yankees brought him up. He pitched an inning in 2/3. He did allow 2 hits, but no runs. And Clay Holmes, who the Yankees acquired via trade this week, also threw an inning. He did not allow anything in his Yankees debut. So if you're looking for a positive in this one, it would have to be Romano and Holmes, because the rest of the team, there wasn't really much to look at. But regardless, it's a positive week in the Trop. Here's why. Yes, the Yankees stink in the final game of series when they have a chance to sweep their opponent. Now they're 4-10 in those instances. And I totally get that. It's not fun when the team you're versing gets the final laugh. You want to leave with some momentum. And it's something that this Yankees team has not been able to do this year. And you know what? I may sound like a too optimistic fan here, but I would take 2 out of 3 against the Rays. And I keep preaching this to everybody on this show. You guys hear it, you listen in, and I appreciate that, and I love talking Yankees baseball with you, but you guys will know, I always say it, worry about winning series. If you win 2 out of 3, that adds up. If this team would have won 1 out of 3, I would have felt a little differently, especially about the way that Game 3 rolled out. But they took 2 of 3, they did what they had to do on the road, and now this stretch of games that they have coming up should be an easier task for them. And that's where you have to take care of business and really take advantage of how the schedule is falling, because obviously it's going to get tougher again. There are series coming up that the Yankees will really have to be ready for. But to compete with a team ahead of you in your division, ahead of you in the wild card standings, gain some ground in those aspects, especially being so far behind in the division, it's a positive weekend. Are there negatives? Of course. You know, Giancarlo Stanton looks lost at the plate. Nobody's going to deny that. He looks absolutely terrible there. Gerrit Cole was not himself. I saw a lot of speculation on Twitter, and I just want to throw it out there because I'm still undecided on it. If the Yankees go into the wild card game, do you give the ball to Gerrit Cole if you're facing the Rays? Or do you go to a Nestor Cortez knowing that this Rays team is not good against left-handed pitching? That is the question that has been toying in my mind for a while. And I think, obviously, we have a lot of baseball left to be played and certain things can happen. But it's something that you have to start thinking about as it gets closer. It's something that Aaron Boone and his team are going to really have to consider. Or do the Yankees end up making a trade and get somebody before the deadline that could ultimately make that start? Who knows? We don't know the situation, but it is something to keep an eye on, because if Cole struggles the way he's been, especially against teams named the Red Sox and the Rays, it may be something that Aaron Boone should consider. And of course, you know, it's hard to talk about this lineup when we know that reinforcements are on the way. You know, the team's going to look a lot different coming into this Miami series. Based on the trade deadline, Brian Cashman's making a handful of moves that should really impact this Yankees team. And of course, we're going to talk about it on our trade deadline special show. Why did I not touch about it on this show? It's simple. I want to keep the trades all in one show. Make sure we talk about them, break everything down for you, and then when the time comes, we'll make sure we release that content for you and have it ready. But again, so many things could change. It's so fluid. We're going to wait until all the dots are tabbed and all the T's are crossed before we give you that content. And of course, you can find that by going to our social media feeds at Pinstripe Talk ND. Search up Pinstripe Talk on Facebook. And again, go to DeLahantyMedia.com, where all of our latest shows and updates are posted right on there. It feels good to take 2 out of 3 against the Rays. It feels good to have some kind of momentum. It feels good to know that reinforcements are on the way. And it feels really good that we still get to talk some Yankees baseball with you. Until next time, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I know I say it all the time, let's go Yankees, and yeah, you're going to hear from us really soon. Stay tuned.